somebody, talk to somebody on the phone or run across somebody that remembers the Don and Mike days at WAVA.
Well, great talking to you, Dave.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you.
Bye, David.
Bye.
We parted as friends.
We did.
We did. Sort of. I love looking back.
We did. Now, we didn't hate him when he left, did we?
I don't know. I like to like that guy in the Albert Brooks movie. I don't know. I think he was very nice to call. We appreciate him calling.
Oh, all right.
Very nice.
I will give into your memory. You're right. Brett did say some awful things about him when he quit. I don't really quite remember.
We never liked it when anybody would leave of their own accord.
No.
That's the small-minded, petty individuals that we are.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember.
Go.
That's right.
Go. Yeah, go ahead.
Go to New York.
You'll never be a success.
Go to New York. Don't call me when you fail.
That's right.
You can't come back on the show. That's right. Go and leave.
That's right.
That pretty much the same feel we gave Rudy Martsky about a month ago.
That would account for the business-like approach he took to that call. Hey, happy anniversary. Not even going to do my corpulent porpoises fast for you.
These would be pretty funny. Do you remember when he got this shirt for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
He got a button-down shirt and tie. One of those combination deals where you get the shirt and tie both in the same package.
Mm-hmm.
He wore it to work, I believe, for 7 days in a row.
He loved it.
Wow.
No lie.
It was his favorite shirt.
If David got a shirt,
right,
he loved it. And you know what? I did.
Later on, another news guy, Dave Schreiber, actually wore the same pair of pants the same way. not as nice.
You know what? I didn't have the time to ask him about. I can't imagine him now. David Haynes makes us look like we have soul.
Right.
He works on a black station. He works on an urban station.
Yes, he does.
He's got to be like the only white guy at that station. And you got to know that those guys, Donnie Simpson and those guys that he works with,
right,
they laugh at him.
As tragically white as we are, he wrote the book on it.
They got to laugh at him. You know that they got to be sitting back going, look at that honky. What is he doing? What is he doing with the hardboard courts of the NBA on this program?
It's interesting because I don't know if either one of us has spoken to David Haynes since he left. It was weird hearing from him.
The daily conversations that he and I used to have when we worked together were a big part of my day, Mike. And I'm glad that they're back now.
I hope that everybody in our listening audience now, 10 years later, got a feeling for the closeness that we had with David after that last call.
He was a good sport, though.
He was a very good sport. We had a lot of fun with him when he was on the show.
One day, I think you mentioned this, the Burger King thing. You brought it up.
Yeah, Burger King of Virginia.
It was an election day. We wanted people to write in his name. To write his name on the ballot to be King of Virginia.
Right, David Haynes for King.
And we called him David Haynes because when he would do the news, he goes, I am David Haynes.
News and comment on 105 WABA. Hey, the handy-dandy wrist warmers.
And he went all the way with this bit when we decided to make him King of Virginia.
We got him a stretch limousine. And we got him like one of those, you know, remember the margarine commercials where
right.
you take a bite of the margarine, you have the big king's
right.
crown
mm-hmm.
on your head? We got him one of those fancy crowns. I still remember us driving to Burger King and seeing David Haynes stand up in the moonroof.
Waving at people. Like royalty. They'd given the king's wave, and some people would beat their horns and wave back. Other people were looking at him like, going, what's that guy doing with a king suit?
Now, he didn't have any problem putting on a king suit.
Right.
And running for King of Virginia, he didn't think that screwed with his credibility.
Right.
It was just we put a Pat Robertson sticker on his car.
That's where he drew the line.
That's where he could take no more.
Everybody has their own hot buttons.
Well, nice talking to David Haynes again.
All right.
Well, who else do we have? Now I have more people on the list. I don't know if these people will be calling us today. Lori Neff.
Mm-hmm.
She was the news person who replaced David Haynes originally.
Right, right. Before Dave Schreiber?
Mm-hmm. It says, Lori Neff, here are facts about her. David Edgar bugging the ladies' room with a wireless microphone in the trash can.
You right.
heard David mentioned that last hour.
Yeah.
She was involved in a traffic accident with Marion Barry.
Ah, I remember that.
Oh, now this is the
coming
thing.
To work, right?
Yeah, listen to this. What kind of broadcaster does this? This is right around the time that Mayor Barry is caught at the Vista Hotel with a crack and with the woman. She gets in a car accident with him at 5 o'clock in the morning on her way to work. He's coming home from a night of partying. She physically gets in an accident. He runs into her car. She comes to work and doesn't say anything about it to us.
We were dumbfounded.
And then it's about 8:30. The story comes over the wire. Mayor Barry, out at 5 o'clock in the morning, gets involved in a traffic accident. And we say something on the air like, listen, if that person is listening to the show, please call us. And then she says... you know, she limply lifts up that flabby right arm and says, It's me. I got the record.
Well, she was planning on calling us. I think she's probably not going to call us now.
No, I don't think she was. She was not on the list.
Beirut or something
Egypt.
Like that, isn't it? Egypt.
Where is she?
She works for Voice of America now, I believe.
She belongs in Egypt. Let me see. Oh, here's another person from our past who will not be calling us today. T.J. Wright. T.J. Wright. Let me see. She's famous. Here are the notes about her. She's famous for wearing a black bra with a white blouse.
Oh, yes.
She said she had to put plastic on the studio chair so she wouldn't get it dirty.
Fancied herself as kind of a modern-day Mae West.
And she was also bitten in the face by Mitch Johnson's dog.
She was not one of the more popular disc jockeys when we worked at WAVA, and everybody had to suppress the laughter when she leaned over Mitch Johnson's Japanese... Not, it was a chow. That was the name of the dog. And leaned forward and said, aren't you so cute? And the dog went... and took like a little chunk out of her cheek.
Bit her right in the face of the big WAVA holiday Labor Day picnic.
Slow to call the paramedics on that one.
The word slowly got around the campground or wherever the hell.
And everybody said, she what? She was bitten by a dog. Oh, no.
Hold on. We have time for one real fast one because he's doing a radio show of his own. From Q107, here is Lewis Myron Katzelberger.
Hi, Lou.
Hey, happy anniversary, guys.
Here is L00. Hi, Louie.
Boy, they're not booing. They're just yelling Lou with the flu.
There you go.
Yeah, Lou Katz. Lou, what record are you playing right now?
Actually, I'm almost ready to play one of your jingle.
Come on, that's a level.
Here we go.
All right.
Now, right back to Washington's best music mix on Washington's Mix 107.3.
There you go.
Yeah.
learn how to run a board from you, man.
Yeah, Lou Katz, one of the good guys, one of the real friends.
I'm not going to take much of your time. I know you're having a really wacky day with your anniversary, but I did want you all to know that I wanted to congratulate you on your 10th and to let you know I have a little poem here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
I have got a little sappy music bed you can put under this thing.
Hold on. Give us a second here.
We need a sappy music sound.
All right, we're gonna get the sappy music for you, Lou.
Got it right here.
Hey, Mike, by the way, congratulations on your girl, buddy.
Thank you very much, Lou. She's beautiful, and I know you've got one of your own now, right?
Cat's version 2.0 coming out in February.
Oh, congratulations.
We knew
great.
That you could do it, Lou.
Here's the poem, guys.
Okay.
It all began around 10 years ago with this guy Geronimo from Chicago. His on-air debut was St. Patty's Weekend when he was doing anything but making friends. We were live from the rally in the alley. I was doing promotions, Frank was schmoozing Susan O'Malley. Don's bit from the porta potty was pretty funny. All Alan Goodman kept saying was, this is costing me money. Charlie and Harrigan were doing the morning show. My God, did they blow. Our on-air promo sounded really tight, thanks to this little guy named Mike. In the studio, O'Meara with Dicker, doing promos for this guy named Nick Sticker.
Oh, God, you remember.
Then Alan said to Smokey the very next day, Charlie and Harrigan are history. It was time for the all-new Morning Zoo with Don and Mike and a wacky crew. Those old radio days leave lots of memories, like limo rides to the Palm and slamming Rick D's.
Oh, my.
Alan's secretary, Barbara, was always lots of fun.
Oh.
Taking care of every guy in more ways than one. Jim Elliot eating pizza from the trash was a pretty funny sight. Not to mention doing interns on Marie's desk at night.
Oh, God.
How can we forget David Haynes' burnt toast and coffee time? Or Rusty Ford, the production guy who was out of his mind? Rivers, St. John, Farber, and Beck. More useless PDs, oh, what the heck. Thank God for the 7-Eleven across the street where Don and Mike celebrities would always eat. The good old Power 105 days are moot. Too bad I can't say the same for your lawsuits. Well, those days are gone. You're up the dial, keeping your fans listening with a smile. And over the years, and this is true, guys, over the years I've come to appreciate the fact that you don't tease me on your show, which is great. You are my competition, and each rating book I take a hit,
But I feel better knowing you're still fat, white, Catholic, and sick about it.
Thank you.
Happy 10th, guys.
Hey, Lou, that's great. Thank you
very much.
We love you. Thank you, Lou.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's
bye-bye.
Great.
And he kind of put it all in there with some of the stuff we've been talking about.
Yeah, there's Louie.
Do you hear that? Sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
Does indeed play some strange trick.
Oh, that was nice of Lou.
That's great.
I know he had to get back to start the next Gloria Estefan record. We will be right back.
This should be played at high volume.
The Don and Mike Show.
Preferably in a residential area.
Serving America since 1985. The Don and Mike Show's 10th anniversary.
Hey, it's a decade of service.
All right. It'll be a good time for Ken to come by with that gift any second here.
Yeah, well, the whole staff chipped in, I understand.
We're just the infusion we need. Now it's time to break away from the anniversary festivities for a second. We'll talk to Sonny Jurgensen about the Redskins and the NFL. Sonny, brought to us by Miller Lite. When you have the great taste of an ice-cold Miller Lite, life is good. Well, Sonny?
Yes, Don.
Man, you don't sound happy, Sonny.
You know, we could spend this time talking about the Redskins game, or we could spend this time talking about...
Did you get my movie? Where's Papa?
Oh, did you watch Sonny's movie, Where's Papa, over the weekend?
I did not have a chance to. The George Segal section was all out at Blockbuster.
Okay.
You know, we could talk about, as I said, we could talk about the Redskins game, and I guess we have to talk about that, wouldn't it? But wouldn't it be more fun to talk about Barry Switzer?
Is that unreal? She's in New York Post today. Bozo the coach.
Man, and I tell you, when you're a coach of Dallas, you are seriously under the spotlight. I mean, moves like that happen every single week in the NFL. Dumb moves, but this one, I'll tell you, he's really catching it, isn't he?
What did Mike Ditka say? Dumb and dumber?
Yeah.
Now, Sonny, didn't the same move come up, though, for the Giants late in the Redskins game?
Yeah, but the Giants were 4-9 and with nothing... Their defense had not been playing well. Their offense, you know, when you're in a season like both the Redskins and the Giants are, taking a gamble like that and trying to make something happen is worth it. But when you're protecting your home field advantage in the playoffs back on your 29-yard line, no. I don't think so.
I saw Chris Berman last night on ESPN, and he had a great story. He says, he's talking about this, and he says, listen, I remember when I had a Y.A. Tittle football game when I was a kid.
Right.
He says, if you're on the 29-yard line, on your opponent's 20, on your own 29-yard line, it's fourth down and inches to go.
Right.
The card says punt.
Sure.
The card always says punt.
Field position dictates the call.
Here is Barry Switzer now. Barry Switzer of the Dallas Cowboys.
Barry, why don't you go for it on fourth and one?
Because I wanted to make a foot to control the ball, because we're kicking the wind. They're going to come back and kick a field goal to win the thing anyway. So if we keep the ball...
Hey, Sonny, let me stop that tape right there.
Well, he's absolutely showing no confidence at all with his defense or his punter.
Have you ever heard an NFL coach come out and say, listen, we were going to lose anyway, which in essence is what he's saying here. They're going to make the field goal anyway.
Well, what do you think Jerry Jones is going to do, Sonny?
Well, I think after the season, he's going to have to do some serious soul searching about who's going to coach his football team. Now, when Jimmy Johnson left, and Jimmy Johnson made all the football decisions, and Jerry Jones wanted to be considered as far as taking some of the credit for making football decisions. But that was not the case, and that has been a big problem, making football decisions. And you can see what's happened. That team has many, many problems right now. I mean, they could lose one of their last two games. They really could. I mean, and then they could be on the road traveling and for the playoffs, which they have to go to Green Bay or to San Francisco. They've just let this thing come apart on them, and they're not. The leadership there has just come apart.
What about the Redskins? What is the mood like at Redskins Park after what I heard?
You can imagine it's like a broken record. It's disappointment, missed opportunities, and that was the case yesterday. They completely dominated the game, but when they had to make a play, they couldn't make a play. They had a lot of chances. They have a young quarterback. He's third and one. Should take the ball, and if nobody's open, throw it away, and he takes a 15-yard sack, and they come up empty. I mean, they were inside of the 5-yard line two times and down inside the 20 four or five times, and they ended up with like 3 points.
Let me ask you a question about Heath Shuler. Watching him yesterday, does it look to you like sometimes he's just got his mind made up right when he's standing over center and he drops back and he just does what is
I think they
set up in his mind? Does he do that?
They said it yesterday when he ran, that very point that they said on TV, and who knows if the TV guys know, but they said he looks just at the first receiver, and if the first receiver's not open, he just runs. He doesn't look for the second or third.
I think that's where he is in the stage of his career of you know, finding one receiver and taking off. And they do want him to run with the football. That was something they stressed to Gus, to stay in the pocket and you know, look for secondary receivers. With Heath, as he's making a decision, and I think sometimes he seems to be making them a little quicker. And I'm sure that the more experienced he becomes, he's not going to make those decisions of coming out of the pocket as quickly as he can and taking off running with the football. He'll go to secondary receivers, but at this stage, he's not there yet, guys.
Okay, listen. Last question, Sonny. You coming to the Christmas party Friday?
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, guys. I would love to, but I'm not real big at Christmas parties. Since I quit drinking, are y'all having alcohol?
I think it's a prerequisite, for the Christmas party. Yeah.
Why? Why is it? I don't do those things.
Oh, you don't? Okay, it's all right. We understand, Sonny.
We know that Sam's coming, and we know that Frank Herzog's coming. We would feel safer knowing you were there.
Would you?
Yeah.
I might show up then.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Thanks, we'll see you Friday, Sonny.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Oh, and you have Frank who? Frank Herzog? Diana is talking to the headline. He's going to have to wait for commercials, Diana. That SOB walked out on us 5 years ago. He can wait. He can
Frank
wait through 6 minutes of commercials.
But we have to talk to Frank.
Oh, we shall.
It's important.
We'll be right back. Sonny Jurgensen brought to us by Miller Lite. Would you have the great taste of ice cold Miller Lite? Life is good. The 10th anniversary, a decade of service, continues after this.
Radio God.
I give up tears for the funniest show in town.
Don and Mike.
If you're going bald...
Enough already. Enough. Enough. No more talk of Diet Cherry Coke. Here's more with Don and Mike.
Listen, I'm not going to let this thing with the insurance ruin a beautiful anniversary program.
Yeah, I mean, there's no danger.
All I want to know is, how is it that we've been talking about it for at least 2 weeks now, having Rabe hang from a fire truck, hook and ladder, being the human pinata? We've talked about it for at least 2 weeks.
I have a question about this.
Yes.
Is this insurance for Rabe, or is this insurance for the hook and ladder?
I believe it's for Rabe. I believe that Ken feels that if Rob was to somehow slip and crack his head open, he'd want to sue the station.
Sure.
So now at the last minute, at the last possible hour, Ken has decided that we can't do it because we don't have insurance. Is this what's happening?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because, you know, those fire companies value their equipment, Don, and, you know, as soon as you suspend them, there is damage that could occur.
All right, listen, we'll have to talk about this tomorrow.
Right.
Don't want to ruin the beautiful mood that we are both in right now.
It hasn't. I think I was talking with Ken out in the hallway, and I think it has something to do with the height that they're talking about hoisting Rabe.
I just heard him say even if Rabe was only 2 feet off the ground, still could not do it.
Well, see, he's not going to get... He wouldn't get hurt if he was 2 feet off the ground.
I actually overheard him say that he's concerned that he might fall on somebody else. So I think that may be part of it.
Yeah, but people aren't going to be under Rabe. They're going to be next to him, hitting him like a pinata. And if
how come they didn't have these worries 2 weeks ago?
He's a tall man. So, I mean, if you raise him only 2 feet off the ground, you've got a total of 8 feet of height. That you're, because Rabe is what, 6'10"?
How come it always happens like this, that we have 6'10"?
Yeah.
How come it always happens we have some great idea, and everything's rolling along until it's time to do the idea, when finally somebody back there listens to a radio to hear what we're doing, then they come in and they say, no, no, no.
That's 2 feet, right? Isn't it? That's 2 feet. And that's his toes, 2 feet off the ground. He's still suspended, and he's not going to hurt anybody.
Or
himself.
We'll have to take it up with Ken on tomorrow's program. Listen, Frank Murphy is on the phone now.
All right.
From Los Angeles. They went to the dog cemetery.
They got him.
They dug up his bones, and he's back.
Mike?
Here's Frank. Hello, Frank.
Frank.
Hey, I thought I was dead.
Frank, you've come back from the grave. How are you?
I don't know. How did I do it? I guess I'm fine.
Did somebody, do you have like dirt in your mouth or anything like that? It's Frank Murphy, our original producer.
And now, I know that John Nolan was our original
producer. Oh, I'm
sorry.
It's Frank Murphy, our original producer.
When you write the history books, I'll be number two in a long, long list.
but Frank was really our first real producer who did stuff to help the program. You remember Frank, of course, we yelled his name constantly. Whenever something went wrong, it was the scream of, Frank!
That's right.
We even had jingles made up that just screamed the name Frank.
Well, like, for example, the time before we had the delay unit and you accidentally let fly with an expletive about Lisa Bonet.
Yes, sir.
Your first response was, Frank!
That's right.
What else to do?
So, Frank, tell everybody now that you're out of the cemetery, tell them what you're doing now.
Well, I work out here in sunny Los Angeles at a radio station called K-Rock. Produce a morning show out here, and I kind of, you know, walk around, go to Disneyland, you know, go to Universal Studios, go to the theme parks all the time.
Are you still going to church every Sunday?
Yeah, I go to a church called St. Finbar's, Mike. And of course, you'll know St. Finbar as one of those Irish saints.
And you bump into celebrities at your church occasionally, don't you?
Well, once in a rare while.
What, did you do a pre-interview with them or something?
No, I just remember that a long time ago when we talked that Frank actually saw some famous people at his church.
You're right, Mike, but I changed churches. See, I used to live over in North Hollywood, and I used to go to St. Charles Borromeo. And that's where, you know, I used to see Bob Hope's wife, for example, and all the famous people who live in the Toluca Lake area would go to church there.
Mm. I want
to
tell you.
I moved over into Burbank, and I'm going to St. Finbar's, and it's pretty much just a constant battle to find the English language mass.
So, Frank, Frank Murphy, R.I.P., God, we miss him every day. Frank, what would be your moment that you would remember most from the time you spent with us?
Well, I have so many. I mean, I think about just today, of course, you know, being the anniversary show. I think about some past anniversaries. I remember, I think it was your third anniversary when we did the big celebrity roast for you at the Warner Theater.
Yeah,
Larry King said to me, you know, we're trying to do the whole lineup. He says to me, trust me, Frank, I've done a million of these. Let me take over. Let me control everything. The year after that, it snowed. It was incredible, a snowstorm. We did a show from the Bethesda Cinema and Draft House.
Oh, that's the Katie Couric show, isn't it?
Yeah, and I still, to this day, in my pocket, every day, carry my Don and Mike 4th anniversary comb.
Which, incidentally, cost Al Goodman, I think, 2 cents each.
Yeah, that's the prize we gave away.
Yeah, it was great. It was the cheapest thing we could get. And then the year after that, we went to the Bahamas, and we met this guy. And the only thing I don't know why this came up to my memory, but there was this guy you met, Mike, and he says to you, you are German? I am German.
I remember that.
Yeah,
from the hallway of the hotel.
He was from Cleveland.
I buy my pants in Cleveland.
It was just the weirdest thing. And I'm trying desperately to think of some memories that don't involve bodily functions.
Very tough.
So many of the things that I've thought of. I mean, there was a stadium at RFK Stadium. There was a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time outside a movie theater in Northwest D.C.
Oh, okay. That was me and Frank. I remember that one.
There's Laurie Neff. There's Alan Goodman. All of these people in your gas. I think of, you know, you think of bodily... It's gross. That's disgusting. I got to think of better things than that.
Now, that RFK memory is a horror that I will keep forever.
So, Frank, listen. How are you living with this every day when you wake up and you say, God... I don't work for them anymore. How are you handling this?
I do really think about it. I mean, because, you know, in this line of work, obviously, I still encounter some of the same people, some of the same celebrities who were on the show back there I've talked to and met out here, some of the same, you know, publicists and people you deal with. I do really think about it, I'd say, almost every day that, thank God, I mean, it's too bad. We're done in my
opinion. And we the same, Frank.
I know.
And we
well, I mean, I know I'm not the easiest person in the world to get along with. I'll realize I've got my certain quirks and personality flaws. I'll be the first to admit that.
How are your children doing?
Oh, doing great. The boy now is in kindergarten.
The boy.
Wow.
And he's one of the tallest kids in the class, and he just seems to be doing great.
How's Megan?
She's terrific. You know, she was elected president of the third grade.
Wow.
She's above the old block. There you go. That's right.
Yeah, she seems to be doing well, and Jerry's running the children's Christmas choir at church. They're all going to be singing in that at St. Finbar's on Christmas Eve, and there's a lot going on. You know, she's like room mother, and we work everything at the school. There is always, you know, some haunted house to work.
Do you still wear that Tommy Hilfiger shirt that we got in Chicago that one time?
This is going to come as a shock to you, Mike, but about a month ago.
Yeah.
I finally retired the Tommy Hilfiger shirt.
10 years. Well, Frank paid $50 for that shirt, Mike. No wonder he's worn it for 10 years.
Absolutely.
Where I had to finally hang it up, so I sold it at a yard sale and got a dollar for it.
Yeah. Do you still have your David Letterman sweatshirt?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I got a new one. I got a new one from you know, Don, you're going to love this story. About a year and a half ago, when Letterman was out here in Los Angeles in May of 1994, I figured, you know, it's what the hell. We may as well try and get him on the show here. So I found out what hotel he was staying at, and I called and left a message on his voicemail. And I said, David Letterman, you know, you're not going to remember me for anything, but 10 years ago I was in New York with Don Geronimo, and I gave you my George Mason University sweatshirt, which Don then paid me back for, maybe let me buy a new one.
Made me pay him.
Absolutely.
Immediately.
It was a $45 shirt. Anyway, I said all that on the message, and I said, I'd love to have you come in and maybe, you know, call in to our radio show or whatever. You know, I didn't hear anything back for a while. The next day, his assistant, name is Casey, calls back, and she says, hey, David got your message. Says he's sorry he can't do your show, but I need to know your address. I said, I gave her the address. That afternoon, a courier shows up with a brand new late show with David Letterman's sweatshirt to make up for the George Mason sweatshirt that we gave him that many years ago.
Wow. And you burst into tears, right?
I did. I cried.
Sure.
It was so emotional.
So, Frank, I got so many questions that I want to ask you that I really can't ask you off. Well, I'll ask you one on the air.
All right.
Listen, okay, around the time that we left the other station.
Yes.
When we were coming over here.
Right.
Here's what I have to know.
Okay.
You had basically, you just hated working for me.
That's not true.
But you didn't want to. Now tell me how this happened.
Well, here.
We had the job for you here at JFK.
Right.
You came over and you gave Ken Stevens a salary, which he could not pay you, and the thought then was that you just asked for this ludicrous amount of money because it was an easier way of getting out than having to come and say that you were sick of me.
Hey, they could afford it in Los Angeles, baby, let me tell you that.
Ooh, here's that awkward moment. Here's that moment.
Here's
this is the first real awkward moment.
Are you making
exactly what happened.
You're making $100,000 now?
Ken Stevens gave me a figure that was less than I was making at WAVA, and I said, you know, I just don't know. I mean, that doesn't seem right to me. And because at the same time, I'm hearing from a station in New York and a station out here that are offering more money than that. And I thought, you know, it doesn't seem right. And you had offered out of the kindness of your heart to make up the rest of it out of your pocket. And I felt weird about that. I felt like I would be personally
hate this guy.
To you, and I didn't want to be an indentured servant.
I'll let you know.
You know, I really didn't. I wanted it to be, you know, a working relationship.
Mm.
I didn't want you to be suffering be losing money because of me. And I felt that would be unfair to you and unfair to me. And I thought, you know, I've been with these guys for 5 years. If I go, I would have to commit to them for at least another 5 years. Why don't I go see what else I can do? And it just seemed like, you know, it was very hard to do that.
All right, Frank, this is too long an answer. All right, we understand.
Truth.
We understand.
That's the absolute truth. It was an extreme.
You understand. I don't understand.
Family, I had no other job in Washington.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
I understand. Don is still very, very bitter.
Okay.
Well, that's.
Hey, Frank, hold on. You would expect no less from me, would you?
No, of course not. I mean, I knew. And one of the things I knew, I mean, I saw what happened, how you turned on David Haynes and Kim Anderson when they left.
Okay.
I absolutely knew that by leaving, it would mean that my friendship with you would probably come to an end. And I hated that. I thought, this is horrible.
Hey, listen.
Listen,
we just had David Haynes on, and Mike said that he sounded a bit pensive. I thought it was just age.
No, he was.
Oh, no. We're all afraid of you.
What happened when David Haynes left? I thought that was a nice leaving.
No.
He left to go to New York to work
right.
WPLJ and
right.
cursed his name every day.
Oh, my.
Wait a minute. You don't remember that about David Haynes?
No.
That's why David Haynes had that attitude he had when he called in here.
I wish you would have hit me to that because I didn't. I really thought, hey.
So, well, see, I thought that David Haynes would be a little more show busy and be like, you know, like people are in show business and go, hey, how are you? Hey, great. Instead, he was, you know, he was communicating. You were reading between the lines on that one, you know.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
But also, Don, I knew when I left that you could get Diana, who is one of the greatest producers in radio, second best as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
I'm teasing. You know I'm teasing.
It's a different show now, Frank.
Yeah, and
frankly, to be honest, I don't know if you could keep up with the show today. Not quite as
getting old, you know.
Not quite as scripted as it used to be. Well, either way, good luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks for the call.
Sure. Happy anniversary.
Okay.
Did you play Slim Whitman yet?
No, we haven't.
I don't know where that tape is.
Oh, sing it for me then.
Darling, happy anniversary.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. There he goes, Frank Murphy. Was that difficult for you, Don?
Hey, Diana, come here. Come here right now. Come here.
Hi, here.
Come here. I love you, damn it. You have a job for life.
Thank God.
You have a job for life.
It was just as painful for me as it was for you.
I know. Diana has a problem with Frank as well when she hears the name, and especially when he's on the phone.
And maybe that salary wasn't good enough for him, but it's good enough for me, damn it.
There you go.
He's making $100,000 now. I'll eat my hat. That's what he wanted. He wanted $100,000 a year.
He wouldn't fess up with that one. He moved right by that little one there. But hey, but it's good to hear from him. In the words of Jim Everett, it's good to hear from him.
It's good to be here with you,
Chris.
I bet you won't say it again.
That was one of those squirmy moments there. That's great.
Sure was.
All right.
Well, we got a tape of him. Do I have time to play the tape now of us yelling at Frank?
Sure.
It's just us yelling at Frank. It says, here's what it says on the description. Talk about the detailed mind of Frank. You guys spent 5 minutes ordering him around.
Oh, good.
All right, let's see. Is this it?
It's a tape that will demonstrate how cruel we can truly be.
Hold on. No, this is the Bart tape?
Yeah.
All right, listen. Let's play the Bart tape. I got a whole bunch of tapes to play for you. The tape of Bart having his rave out when he was 3 years old.
Right.
We have Mike doing Charlie from 1985.
Mm-hmm.
We also have U.S. Maurice Butkus we're going to play in the next hour.
Former sportscaster on this program.
And also Raymond Burr and the Squirts.
Oh, my.
Making their first appearance on the show. We also have a tape of the first day that we were working together when we called a guy named Dr. Fang Boner. And we got all kinds of mileage out of that, baby.
All right, nothing has changed.
Something, and let's just say chain letter. Don and Mike receive a chain letter. Call the person who sent it. She denies knowledge of it, but received one too. Rude husband. Take a call about the letter. That's something we did on the first day of the show.
Okay.
So we'll hear all of those in the next hour, I guess, along with Big Al. Al Goodman coming up in the next hour.
I can't wait to talk to Al.
Here's the tape of Bart. Bart, a little boy, much littler than he is now, from, I guess, maybe 7 years ago.
At McDonald's. And there are millions of prices left, like many.
Hello. He's the magic of Frank.
3 year old whose
voice was deeper than.
That, of course, is my son, Bart. I can seriously tell you that he's changed my life, and I think we've all listened to him grow up on the Zoo Show over the past couple of years. How come that's going so fast? How come I'm talking so fast?
That's the magic of Frank. Frank actually reached out and touched the show.
Here are some of my favorite memories with my son, Bart. One time when he wouldn't hang up the telephone, and later when he had a Damien-like tantrum, and his head spilled off, and he pushed his mother off a railing, and he was on his little bicycle. It's just like the movie Damien. Well, anyway, here's my great son, Bart. Power 105 WABA. Bart! Hey, Bart.
I'm my daddy.
Hi, Bart. He picked up the phone by himself, and I've been talking with him now. It rang 4 times, and he picked it up, and I've been now on the phone with him during that entire song, trying to find out if she's there. I need to talk to her. Bart, is your mommy there?
Yes.
Or can you tell mommy that daddy's on the phone?
Okay, I'll phone.
Yeah, tell mommy that daddy's on the phone.
My phone. Daddy.
Frustrating situation, isn't it?
Would you go upstairs and tell mommy that daddy's on the phone?
My mommy.
Yeah, yeah. Bart?
Bart's just downstairs on the extension.
Are you watching your Mickey Mouse movie? Bart?
Hello, my daddy.
Hello, Bart. Are you watching your Mickey Mouse movie?
Hello, my daddy.
Hello, Bart.
Hello?
Hello. Are you watching Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I talk to mommy, please? Bart, can I talk to mommy?
The kid's in control right now. I kind of dig this. This is funny.
My mommy?
Yeah, your mommy.
Hi, mommy.
No, I'm not mommy's on the phone.
Hi, mommy.
Is mommy in the kitchen? Is mommy upstairs in the kitchen? Bart?
Oh, you cough there.
Bye, Daddy.
Bye, bye.
I think you'll hang up the phone now.
So where's the one with him yelling? Is
yeah, where's the milk?
Oh, okay, hang up the phone.
Yeah, good boy.
Got a slight problem at home.
What's going on?
Bart won't leave to go to the grocery store with mommy until he talks to daddy on the radio.
Well, you can understand that.
Music Power 105. Hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, you're on the radio now.
I want a piece of.
Oh, you want to be at the radio station?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. You got to go to the grocery store with mommy. What? Bart?
think he wanted to come to the radio as opposed to...
Oh, jeez.
You think, would a high Bart get him out of this? Would I
know?
No.
Hey, Bart?
You want to talk to him?
Hey, Bart? Bart, Daddy will see you when I get home today, okay?
Sounds like a cat.
Hey, watch it.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Bart? Bart? Bart, Daddy's going to hang up if you're not a big boy. Bart?
Sorry, Daddy. We'll work out this problem and talk to you later.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I'm being a dad. Okay, wait.
Bart.
Daddy.
Bart, hey, you. Bart, don't you scream at mommy.
Sounds like a little trouble over there today.
That's the one where you got to that one level, that one pitch where it was like, wow.
And just like over the next 10 years, I hope to have those same conversations with your daughter.
She doesn't have a contract yet.
We got a break. We'll be right back. In the next hour, we'll hear of Mike doing Charlie, I think, if not for the first time, one of the very first times on the program. And Raymond Burr and the Squirts and, Al Goodman.
All right.
Big Al coming up in the next hour along with the Morning Zoo Wrap. We'll be right back as we continue to celebrate a decade of service.
You realize this is being broadcast, don't you?
This is the Don and Mike Show. Serving America since 1985. The Don and Mike Show 10th anniversary.
Howdy, hi, we're back. Thanks for listening in Long Island, New York, every afternoon on WGB. In Cleveland, every day from 3 till 7 on WERE. And thank you for listening in St. Louis on 550 KSD. More memories, more memories, more stuff, more tapes. More behind-the-scenes stuff from our 10 years of a decade of service together.
You know, our fearless leader has made his way into the studio, and he immediately discovered the stool test that Sherry brought in as a gift. That was a gift from Sherry to us for our anniversary.
Ken, because we care, we will share that with you.
Oh, this is it. Who's using this?
Well, I think we're all going to share
it. It's a group. Passing
it around. Yeah.
Simultaneously.
I thought so.
Here is Ken Stevens, our boss now.
Listen, have you ever... forgotten your wife's anniversary?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
No,
just kidding.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Oh, see, so you got us.
But,
you got us.
Yes, there. I did, but I can't deliver the little present I had for you today.
Oh, you can't?
Right.
So why? Did you bring in a picture of it or something?
Sort of not ready yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It wasn't as easy to come up with as I thought it
was. It's not dry?
Could you just go to the ATM?
That would be so crude.
Well,
cash is such a...
Oh, not for us, though.
Such a welcome gift.
I'm trying to improve your
image?
Yeah.
That can't be improved.
Refine your taste.
So when do we get...
Cash is not everything.
It is to us.
Tomorrow. So there'll be like a little bit of your anniversary celebration extending into tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
But believe me, it's a very small gift, so...
Now, if we could talk about... We expect nothing less from you. If we could talk about Rob A. for a second, about him, the hook and ladder thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
Why? Yeah. Now, why can't this be done? Why can he not be the human piñata?
I guess, apparently, at the last minute, the insurance company discovered that with him being as high as he's going to be off the ground...
What if it's 2 feet? What if it's 2 feet?
I think a foot or two is okay, because I think what they're worried about is that he'll fall on someone.
Well, we just want him at the level where he can be hit.
Wait, you mean the insurance company is seriously worried that Rob is going to fall on somebody?
Yes. Really? I mean, they had to put down, you know, height, weight, the whole thing. He's sort of like a dangerous object.
Now, he could...
From that height.
I don't think he can hurt himself falling that distance. It'll be high enough where people will be able to strike him with their Nerf bats.
Here's a question, though. If we wanted to go higher, what if we put the dwarf up? Because now we got a dwarf on the show. Have you seen him walking around today?
Yeah.
His name is Scott.
So you're
if he's a littler guy, couldn't he theoretically go higher up?
No, right. They measure not from your head, but from your feet, you see. It's how far his feet are from the ground, I think.
Oh.
Not the distance from, top of the crane to the guy's head.
All right, well,
then we can still use Rob A.
Well, stick with Rob A then, so that's okay if he's just a couple feet. Because the goal is...
I mean, the idea is that he needs to be able to spin around like a pinata does, right?
Yeah, and if he was five feet up, he'd be too high for people to hit him anyway.
He's got
to
be in the harness tomorrow. That's right. The main thing.
He's going to be hanging.
He can hang, just not from a height where him landing on someone would cause, broken bones.
All right, so the pinata show is still on for tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Then. All right.
Bravo!
I'll hail the big pinata.
That's
show.
Great.
All right, thank you.
All right,
so
you'll be happy anniversary.
Thank you,
Ken. And you'll be looking for a small token of
small token.
My esteem tomorrow.
Right. As I said, we expect nothing less.
Absolutely. You. Thank you, Ken. Always a pleasure.
Why should today be any different than any other day?
There he goes, the man that brightens our day.
Here you go. Here's a man that'll brighten your day. Good morning, sunshine.
Hey.
Hey, it's Jim Elliot.
Hey, hi. Jimbo.
Hi. Keeping my legendary status alive in D.C., everybody else probably thinks that I passed on to that great radio wasteland in the sky, but my buddies Don and Mike keep playing bits with Gladys.
Oh, yeah.
Keep talking about me. I hear all about it, and I thank you. Thank you.
And
congratulations!
Thank you. And we thank you. You know what? Because Jim Elliot was the first DJ that we ever feuded with when we were working together in the morning, because Jim Elliot was our first competition in the morning.
That's right. That's right.
And now look at this now. Now we're like friends with them.
Yeah, look, if the Israelis and Arabs can do it, if the Russians and Americans can do it, sure as hell, Jim Elliot and Don and Mike can do it.
Are you still a high-powered record executive, Jim?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike. Arista Records is coming off of its best month ever. We did well over $60 million.
I didn't need to get that information, Jim. I just wanted to ask if you were
I'm now in promotion. I'm not in, if you ask me to do radio, I can give you the whole shtick. But yes, we're doing very well. I won't mention all of our acts except for Whitney's new album and Kenny G and Tony Rich.
Kenny G.
Kenny G, yeah, it's amazing. It really. Last year, we came out with that Christmas album. Here's a little Jewish boy from Seattle. Nice man. Wonderful man. In 1 month, in 4 weeks, this album sold over 4 million copies. And last week...
Hey, sunshine.
It was, hey, it's the number six selling album in America, and it's making us all money, and we love it.
Who is the name of that? I got a question that I've never asked you before. What was the name of that that racer guy that you used to do the commercial?
Carmine Abatello.
Was it Carmine Abatello? At Free State Raceway, when you used to do the...
Carmine Abatello.
Carmine Abatello.
Here's a tape that Jim Elliot would like hearing.
Get this, watch your face in hand. Get down,
Mama.
Get down, Mama. Get this, watch your face in hand.
With a little bit of feeling.
A little feeling, yeah.
Get the twitching in the kitchen, rattle them pots and pans.
And next, Whitney Houston.
Get up this shape, round and roll it down.
Gladys Vincent.
Come on and shake.
How do you bake ham?
Come on and take round and roll. You want to write to serve your doggone soul.
Boom, 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 boom.
Wake up.
See, Gladys was a lady, just a regular lady, who Jim used to have on his show. And Jim used to delight when we would go on vacation. Jim would do the morning show. And Jim would spend a lot of time discussing with Gladys how he should be doing the morning show instead of us. Hey, Jim, I understand you used to work for Ken Stevens.
Yes, I did, for a very brief period of time in the transition right before I came to join you at WAVA.
Where did you work for Ken Stevens at?
Ken, I was at B106, where you are now, was the old B106.
All right.
And the station was sold to Infinity, and Ken came in as the GM, and I could tell that Top 40 was not going to be a long-term proposition at the house on Main Street. So that's when I talked with Mark St. John, who then hired me to sweep up the control room after you guys left the air every day.
Hey, man. Listen, Jim, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys.
10 years now. We've been together 10 years.
That is amazing. God bless you. And much content. How many stations are on the network now?
43.
That's incredible.
Thank you, Jim.
Next year it's 143. Much success. Happy holidays to you and everybody in D.C.
Thank you, Jim.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jim Elliot, ladies and gentlemen.
Now listen, to some of you who haven't heard the show before, you might think, well, what's the big deal? You don't know that guy 10 years ago.
Sure.
That guy was the enemy.
Absolutely.
10 years ago when we started at Washington, he had the number one rated morning show,
Woodside.
The show they said could never be beaten in
the
race.
That's right. For a long, long time, they were at the top of the heap.
And I would like to ask Alan Goodman, Al, how long did it take us to beat Elliot and Woodside?
And without me, you guys would have never done it. Hello, Dee. Hello, Ed.
Oh, no.
How are you guys?
Here he is. It's Jerry.
Hello, Al.
All right.
How are you? Congratulations on your 10 years.
Thank you, Al.
I figured it was, how long did it take us? I think we took them out in about 90 or 120 days.
Yeah, it was 120 days.
It was like taking candy from babies.
Listen, Al, how long did it take us to take him out?
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great, P.C. Barnum.
Congratulations on your 10th year. I was thinking 10 years. It was so long ago. I can't believe it. It was only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I was thinking what precipitated your and Michael getting together. And I wanted to review a story with you, if you don't mind me taking a minute.
Sure.
Your success is the consequence of a much forgotten rooster.
Oh, the Charlie and Harrigan rooster.
Yes.
That's right.
I don't know if I ever told you this. Mike, can you do a noise like a rooster?
No, that's all right. Go ahead. Tell your story, please.
But if it wasn't for the rooster, you guys would have never gotten together.
Okay, why is that?
Because when I had hired Charlie and Harrigan, one of my better hires, and
one of
the things I wanted to do was create a zoo atmosphere.
We have already documented the horrendous mistake you made by hiring Charlie and Harrigan.
No question about it.
They already know that.
No question. And so to give them some life, I actually put a rooster in the studio. And every time the rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo, somebody would call in and be the 10th winner and win $100.
You were a genius, Al.
Genius of Goodman.
My next move was going to be put a cow in there, but I was worried about Rusty.
Rusty Ford, that's right.
So anyway, so I put the rooster in, and then one day, about a month later, the president of the company comes in, and he has this rooster on the air, and he said, Alan, you know, these guys are using this tape too much of the rooster. You ought to tell them to cut back on the tape. I said, Gary, that's not a tape. We've got a real rooster in the studio. And Gary said, you got 10 minutes to get that blankety-blank rooster out of the damn radio station. As soon as I took the rooster out, Charlie and Harrigan had no more bits left, and I knew I had made a mistake. That's why I had to hire you guys.
And you know, my best memory of Al was, and Ken Stevens should take a note.
Yeah.
One time, we had an awful ratings blip.
I'll never forget this. I think this was his greatest moment with us.
Our show went like from number one to number 10 in the ratings in one book. It was obviously a fluke. Because we came right back,
right.
But we were really down about it.
Oh, we were. I mean, it was suicidal. It was terrible.
Al got a car. We went to Atlantic City for the craziest 36 hours.
It was on a Thursday. The ratings came out on a Thursday, and we did this overnight on Thursday night.
Into Friday, and I cannot remember a crazier time that I have ever had, Al.
I got to tell you, D&M, I think back on those days, and we... Everybody in life should experience what I experienced and what I got out of that. That was just a wonderful time. Whether it was the call to Russia, it was the march on Dallas, it was Sam Huff putting his arms around your heads and wanting to play jingle balls with it. And I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Oh, this is a great Al Goodman story. We're taking 100 people to Dallas for a Redskins Cowboys game.
Right. One of the wilder trips we've ever had.
Right. This guy decides he's going to have a parade in downtown Dallas.
Right. With Redskins fans.
Now, who in Dallas is going to go to a Redskins parade? But do you remember standing on the corner and watching Al coming down the street like a drum majorette going, Hail to the Redskins!
Didn't you have like a license plate in your hand or something like
that? Yes, I still have the license plate. It was Redskins 1 or something like that.
That's right.
A Texas license plate. But the funniest part was, I've got to tell you that your audience's story in case you've never told it. Irv Cross, who was with NFL Today, was right behind me. We're getting on the airplane, and there's Herzog and Sam Huff sitting in first class. And Herzog says, there comes your friends. And he points to Don and Mike, and Sam Huff gets up. And, of course, you guys had not treated Sam well over the phone those years. So Sam gets up and puts one arm around Mike's head and one arm around Don's head, and he starts to whisper in your ear certain things, which I was never privy to. Of course, with Irv Cross standing there, all I could see is that we were going to be the lead story on NFL Today. And I got so excited, I kept saying, ring the bell, Sam, ring the bells. And you never banged your heads together, but it would have been a great
sure.
news story for NFL Today.
And if you want to know what tense is, you know, Al, you know the Redskins are now on JFK, and I'm doing the pregame show.
I heard that. Were you in Secaucus this weekend?
No, no, I never get to come up with the team. I always stay here. But we got to be on. We have Sonny on the show now once a week.
Yes,
we have Sam up on the show.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's quite tense.
Things have come full circle.
I'm sorry I can't hear that show, Don. Knowing how much you love football and how much you were a sucker on the football pools every week.
Well, I got to tell you something. I mean this very seriously. I do a fantastic job with that show.
I would like to hear a tape.
And you mean that very sincerely?
I might be buying a talk radio station. I could use you guys for a sports show.
I'm great on that.
There's never a doubt in my mind.
Hey, I'm great on this show.
Al, he's great on the show.
Is he really?
I'm great on the show. Listen, don't kid yourself. You're pretty good on this show.
hey, Al, do you notice in 10 years nothing has changed?
D&M, I got to tell you, I miss so much working with you. It was one of the really great personal experiences I've ever had. I know you have a good relationship with Ken, but it can't possibly exist in the same environment of fun that we had. You guys are the best show in America. I mean that sincerely. I always felt that. It's a shame you don't do mornings, because that's where I really believe you should be, but that's
an
issue.
Al, you may want to revisit that situation just 8 short months from now.
That's right, Al. We're always open to any kind of suggestion.
Guys, it's so wonderful talking to you. I wish you would call me on a social basis sometimes, Michael.
I'm sorry, Al, but we'll go golfing, I promise, this year.
You still have golf clubs left?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Bye, Al.
Steve, nice talking to you. All the best for the test.
Thank you.
See you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Alan Goodman, our first general manager.
Big Al, you radio pal.
Nobody did it like he did it. I mean, really, he's right about that, and we can say that sincerely. When we worked for Alan, it was a special time because he did local radio, but he did it on a
big time level.
Oh, it was amazing. The parties that he threw for us, for no reason at all. It was great.
You should have seen him with the Russians. Around the time of Glasnost, Goodman gets like 15 Russians to come to the radio station, and he sold them on the idea of us doing the first ever broadcast to Russia. A lot of DJs had gone and broadcast from Russia.
Right.
Al Goodman made a deal with the Russian government where they put our show on national radio.
This is when all the walls were just beginning to come down. This is really when the Soviet Union was starting to open up, and nobody had ever done it before.
And for about 3 weeks, you couldn't walk around the radio station without seeing some Russian guy walking around. Nyet.
I think I looked at you one day, I said, this man, and I was looking at Al, I said, this is the guy that is putting all this together. And then he did all the work getting this thing all set up, and then the night of the broadcast, really, the biggest broadcast in the history of our show and the radio station and Top 40 Radio, Alan was off fishing.
Oh, he had his annual fishing vacation. Nothing comes in front of his vacations.
That's right.
Hold on a second. Here's a call on line one. Mike, identify this person.
Hello. Enter and sign in, please.
Please don't do an impression of me, Mike. Please.
Okay,
Mike doesn't know. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Think nerd.
Oh, please.
Think big nerd.
Big nerd.
Think big. Big nerd.
Big
nerd.
Q107,
big nerd.
I still don't have it. I'm trying. Now,
painful. This is so painful.
He's another one of the disc jockeys who we unceremoniously bounced.
Right.
From Q107, doing a morning show. He was a Q107 disc jockey. He used to listen to our show while his show was on.
Mm-hmm.
Who then wanted to be my best friend. Remember, I had to go out to eat with him, and I had to use Buzz as a buffer?
Okay. I'm drawing a blank.
I got it.
Buzz, let's go to Buzz.
David Lawrence.
Yeah.
Oh, God. David Lawrence.
Oh, of course. How could I have forgotten?
Now the anniversary show is complete.
How could I have forgotten it was David Lawrence? I knew it all along.
I have a story that I never told you either.
What's that?
When I came to Washington from Pittsburgh, I was doing mornings at a news talk station, and a real good friend of mine is the group owner of New City Communications, another owner group. And I said, I'm really excited about this. I get to go to Washington, do work for Cap Cities ABC. And he goes, I'll never listen to you. And this is a guy who would listen to me when I was doing overnights, midnights, running religious tapes. I said, why? He said, well, you're going up against Don and Mike, and they're the best. So I'm sorry, but I have to part ways with you at this point.
And David now runs isn't it like a homepage or some computer bulletin thing you got about our show, Dave?
No, I did that thing just as a goof because I love you guys. I love listening to you every day. I do my own tiny little syndicated show for WOR and the WOR network.
Okay.
And that's it,
But no, hold on.
And you're a computer expert,
I'm not busting your chops on this. Didn't you really set up something on the World Wide Web about our show?
I did. I put together the Don and Mike page on the World Wide Web.
And how do you get there? What's the address?
Well, it's http://, like everything else on the web.
And www.spiderworks.com/david/dnm.html.
Got it. Beautiful.
Sure you do.
I just committed it to memory.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. Thank you, David.
You know...
David, that's it. I'm cutting you off now.
he was going to say.
I was just going to say happy anniversary. Oh, that's all.
Hey, all right. Thanks,
bye,
David.
Bye, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm real sorry about not remembering him right away. How long was he on Q107?
About 6 months. Just long enough for us to beat him, get him fired.
Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Mike, all of the luminaries are coming out
is
now.
This Faye Weber?
It's Faye Weber.
I recognize
well,
that lady.
It's your happy anniversary.
Hello, Faye Weber.
God bless you, darling.
Yes, and I heard Frank, and I heard Al, I heard the whole gang. It felt so good.
The whole wacky gang. Faye Weber would be one of the people who's listened from day one to this program.
You better believe it.
Faye and her wonderful husband, Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing? Is Seymour enjoying
his... He's not around?
Oh.
Nope.
Faye,
went out.
I know what makes you happiest, and that's when I give you something.
Yes.
Faye, let me celebrate a decade of service by giving you a pair of free shoes.
Oh, how nice.
See, I know what the surprise that Faye Weber would like. It's a pair of free shoes at any Johnson & Murphy shoe store. Right now, Faye, Johnson & Murphy's offering $50 off any $250 Johnson & Murphy purchase.
Yikes.
Tis the season to save.
Way to go, Faye. You'll enjoy your shoes.
I hope so.
Enjoy those shoes. Faye, what would be... Faye Weber being our number one fan, what would be your favorite memory from the show of the last 10 years, Faye?
My favorite was when that stupid Frank made me go to Kmart to get $50 worth of merchandise and bring it in.
That stupid Frank. Who knows what she's talking about? But
I don't.
It's a great memory. Right. Thanks, Faye.
Oh, yeah, and going to the Bahamas.
Oh, yes, we took you down to the Bahamas.
Going everywhere with you guys. It was great.
Yes, sir.
When are we going together again?
Faye, listen, I just give you your free shoes.
Okay.
You know where you're going? You're going on a walk. You're going on a nice long walk with your new shoes. Hold on a second.
Bye, darling.
That's Faye Weber.
That's Faye Weber, yeah, in the Bahamas with lots of body oil.
Hello.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
Radio needs a good kick in the ass.
The Don and Mike Show. Now, we're 10. The Don and Mike Show 10th Anniversary Special.
Well, let's say hi to our very first producer. Joining us now is Johnny Spaz. Here's Johnny Metro, Johnny Nolan.
Hi, John.
Hey, kids, what's happening?
Hey, it's John Nolan, our very first producer ever.
Hey, got any shoes for me, man?
John,
are you still doing that Pee Wee Herman impression?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to bring it back. You know what I mean? This Murphy Brown thing. It's just, I think there might be hope for him after all.
And he had the suit and everything.
Oh, man, that was embarrassing.
He would dress up like Pee Wee Herman. The one thing that John Nolan would never do is shave that mustache for us, though.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, I did it. I did it 1 year. I have a photograph. I think when we went to Champions. I think I did it 1 year.
And you weren't you chain smoking during that time too?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Well, I was working with you guys. Come on, man.
So Johnny, what are you doing now?
I'm working at 104.3 The Colt up in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a part-time thing at Extra here in Washington.
And Johnny, what would your memory be? Your 10-year anniversary memory, your moment with the show.
I would have to say that the time that we were slamming Theismann, or you were slamming Theismann, and he called up.
I remember that.
He was out doing his, I don't know, feeding the pigs or something like that, whatever he was doing.
Yeah, and I think at the time, Don, you were talking about Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon, right. Here is that tape from 10 years ago.
Don, Joe Theismann, how you doing, buddy? I listen to your show every morning. I'm sitting at my farm, and I just heard the story about McMahon. And let me explain something to you. Okay. First of all, I've been there. See, you haven't been here for a short period of time. Yeah, it is me, Don. I'm not kidding. I'm glad to square on. I love your program in the morning, but you don't really know what Joe Theismann's like. You ever been in a Super Bowl?
And who would have thought now, 10 years later, Joe Theismann is still on our show.
Yeah, and that was the beginning of a long-term friendship, and it didn't start out like that, but it ended up as that.
Yeah. Johnny, thanks for calling.
Hey, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thanks,
right,
John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm sure he had more stories, but we're running late on time now.
Yes, we are.
We have a lot of tapes that we want to get to. A Buzz will have news, have today's news.
Yes.
Today, 1995, coming up in a few seconds. We still have the tapes of Mike doing the impressions that we will get to. Charlie and Raymond Burr and the Squirts. I think maybe the first time ever that you were Charlie on the program.
And I saw, you know, it's weird. Over the weekend, I was flipping around. I don't know what network it was on. But I actually saw Ironsides. And, man, how 70s a show that was.
That's Ironside, singular.
Ironside.
Ironside.
That's right, Robert Ironside.
Here is, also we have the Dr. Fangboner tape. TK Tom Kent's supposed to be calling the program.
I can't wait for that.
We're also supposed to hear from Beam, from Gene Baxter.
All right.
And Rusty Ford's still supposed to call the program at some point today.
Okay, if he's not with a cow.
Here's a tape of one of our first shows. It's us ordering Frank around.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Back in time 10 years ago. And 10 years ago.
And now we've got another great weekend to look forward to.
Yeah, we're going to New York for a little stress reduction. Don, Mike, Frank, we're going to make our way up to New York to see the Mets and the Cubs over the weekend. And I was thinking we should bring Frank in right now and tell him up front the way it's going to be.
The deal?
The deal. Because, you know, we've had this unwritten agreement with Frank. When Frank gets out of town, he has a really good time. He starts to let his hair down.
Frank has a marvelous time.
And I just want to make sure that Frank doesn't have such a good time that he forgets about the really important stuff.
The details, perhaps? The little things that basically make yours and my life better?
Frank, get in here. Frank!
David's shaking his head. He doesn't know where Frank is.
He might be down at that computer.
Oh, yeah, ever since we got Frank a computer, we never see him anymore. Every time I call the guy, he's down in the bowels of WAVA. I call for Frank. Is Frank there?
Frank's in the bowels with his computer. I think that's got something. I think there's going to be a study someday because we got our music director, Brian Bridgman, who spends all the time at that computer.
Listen, I know everybody's got a computer now, but this is 10 years ago when they were new.
That's right. New even in the office environment. Our program director in front of that computer, Frank, now, is hooked. That's all you see these guys and the thing going, blip, 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 blip.
Hi, Frank, how are you?
Well, I'm sorry about that, Dominic. I brought a radio downstairs to the bowels.